Tonight we're going to hope to finish up the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. Recall beginning in chapter 6 and running through to the middle of chapter 19, we have the tribulation period, the details of the tribulation period that's to come upon the earth brought before us. Last week we looked at the first beast of Revelation 13, and tonight we want to look at the second beast, the beast out of the earth. Recall that the first beast was out of the sea, and out of the sea, speaking of the sea of nations, the sea of many peoples, the sea of disturbed peoples and confusion and so forth. And tonight we want to look at the beast out of the earth. You remember that we said that the first beast was out of the sea of nations, and the second, just to repeat ourselves, is out of the earth, or out of the land. Excuse me. The first had 10 horns. The second, you'll notice in verse 11, has 2 horns. The beast out of the sea comes first, and this other beast follows him. Remember, last week we suggested that the first beast is a political power. And in verses 1 and 2, we find, or verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 13, it speaks of the beast as a nation, as an empire. And we believe it's the revived Roman Empire that's to come into being once again. And then we look at the verses over in chapter 17 concerning that. But the second, from verses 4 down to 10, it spoke of the great leader of that revived Roman Empire that's to come. But then as we get down to the second one, we notice that it is not a political empire, and it's a political power, but rather it's a religious leader. The first is a Gentile power, and its head was a Gentile. He comes out of the nations. Well, that's the Gentile nation. But the second one is a Jew. He comes out of the earth, and the word there is out of the land. And when the scripture speaks of the land, it speaks of the land of Palestine. It speaks of the land of the Israelites. And so the second, then, is a Jew. The first beast was energized by Satan. He had satanic power. And we find that the second beast also is energized by Satan. And the second beast induced the worship of the first beast, whose dominion is over the entire Roman world, and after whom the whole earth wonders. Remember, we spoke about that. But the sphere of the second beast is Palestine. Now the first beast of Revelation 13, through its head, the great political leader, the great military man, makes in the beginning of the 7 years of the tribulation, he makes a covenant with the Jews, with many of the Jews. But in the middle of the 7 year period, the middle of the week, he breaks the covenant. We learned that from Daniel 9 and verse 27. And this covenant will probably be the permission given to the Jews to build the temple and to resume their sacrificial worship. But then when this first beast, who's known as the little horn in Daniel's prophecy, becomes energized by Satan, he breaks the covenant. Now, many of the Bible teachers today, even though as they speak of this first beast as a great political leader, they also speak of him as the Antichrist. If we go back to some of the Bible teachers from years back, they don't look at him as being the Antichrist. And I've done an awful lot of study of late to try and get it straight in my own mind, looked at many of the well-known Bible teachers of the present day and of the early 1900s and the 1800s, and it's very difficult to go with any one man because they all have varying views as why they suggest that the first beast is Antichrist or the second beast is Antichrist. But I think there's a key verse, and it's found in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36. And I think it may clear up some of the difference there. Daniel 11, verse 36 and 37. Now, most Bible commentators will tell you, or will suggest, that these verses that we're looking at are verses that have to do with the Antichrist. The difference is who they apply them to, whether they apply them to the first beast or the second beast. But let's look at it. Daniel 11, verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Now, verse 37 is a key verse. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Notice that. In his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And who's the God of forces? It's the first beast of Revelation 13. The one who we read about in Revelation 6, who goes out to conquer the great political military man and the great political head. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And keep that in mind. Whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And so then, I would suggest that the second beast is the personal Antichrist. Notice verse 11 of chapter 13. It says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, or out of the land. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Two horns like a lamb. He is a counterfeit lamb, and he has two horns, which are the imitation of the priestly and the kingly authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he's the one of whom the Lord spoke in John chapter 5 and verse 43, where the Lord says, another shall come in his own name, and he shall ye receive. Remember, he was speaking that to the Jews. And then, also, there's another key, verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We won't read them, but that's the portion that has to do with the man of sin, the son of perdition, that Paul describes there in 2 Thessalonians 2. And again, most Bible teachers apply that to the Antichrist, but many apply it to the first beast. I believe it has to do with the second beast for a number of reasons. First of all, he must be a Jew, or his claim of being Israel's true Messiah would not be accepted by the Jews. Remember, the first beast is a Gentile. He comes out of the sea, out of the Sea of Nations, whereas the second one comes out of the land of Palestine. You know, there is a view that he will be Judas Iscariot, who's raised from the dead. I believe that's just a fanciful speculation, because as we already read in Daniel, he gives us a prophetic picture which bears out the Jewish character and the satanic ways of the Antichrist. Now, in Revelation 16 and verse 13, second beast is called or referred to as the false prophet. Again, in 19 and 20 and 20 and verse 10, chapter 20 and verse 10 is referred to as the false prophet. But notice some of the things that he does. Verse 12 of chapter 13. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Right? He causes the worship, causes people, the Jews and people, to worship the first beast. Remember, we saw that in Daniel 11. And then verse 13, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He doeth great wonders. And verse 14 says, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So he does lying wonders. And he brings fire down. He maketh fire come down from heaven. Now these are signs. These signs are religious in character. And this sign of fire from heaven, that has been the way that God has revealed himself in history in the past. Remember in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24 that God sent fire from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we're reminded that he sent fire from heaven to slay Nahab and Abihu. And then in 1 Kings 18 and verse 38, God sent fire from heaven to Mount Carmel in answer to the prayer of Elijah. And then we remember, as we looked in at Revelation chapter 11, that we saw similar miracles which will be performed by the two witnesses that are spoken of in Revelation 11. So that the false prophet here, or the Antichrist, duplicates these wonders, and they will serve as an aid in causing the citizens of the earth, of Israel, to worship the beast, the first beast of Revelation 13. And you'll recall that it was by falling a fire from heaven that Elijah authenticated himself and his messages as from God. In 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 10 and 12. Now, this Antichrist, or this second beast, I believe is the one who reigns as the false king in Jerusalem and sits as God in the temple. He will be the one who will be the religious head of apostate Judaism and apostate Christendom. And that is the strong delusion of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And notice what he does in verse 14. He says, "And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." And so he makes an image of the first beast, and he gives breath to it so that it can speak. And here we see the real purpose for the miracles, for the purpose for the miracles that this false prophet does. The real purpose of them was to prepare the minds of the people for the announcement that's given here in verse 14, that he prepares this great feast that the people are to bow down and worship and honor. And so he leads the people to finance the erection of a great image, which is to be placed there in Jerusalem, thereby making Jerusalem the center of a worldwide religious system. And once again we see that Satan here is imitating what is predicted in the prophetic scriptures. He knows that Jerusalem will be the center of the Lord Jesus Christ's activities when he comes to earth. He knew that it was when he came to earth the first time. And he knows that it will be when he comes to earth the second time. For it will be his capital city when he comes to reign and to rule on the earth. And so Satan imitates that through the false prophet here. And I believe in Matthew 24, where the Lord was giving forth some prophecy as to the future, I believe that the Lord Jesus was referring to these same events that are recorded here. And you remember there in Matthew 24, and I believe it's verse 21, the Lord even places the time of the prophecies that he was speaking about. For he said to them, he refers to the scene that is to take place as the great tribulation. And that's this latter part of the 7-year tribulation period. Well, the most terrible persecution is connected with his idol worship, with his beast. The people are commanded, as it were, to bow down and worship the beast. And what happens if they don't? Notice verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's referring to the first beast. This false prophet requires everyone to receive a mark, the mark of the beast in his forehead. What the mark is would only be speculation on our part. The scripture doesn't tell us. But it identifies those who give their allegiance to the beast, to the first beast, to this political head, and are willing to bow down and worship his image. And without the mark, the people are not permitted to buy or sell. They can't carry on any commerce, any business, without the mark. One of the things that God has been against and has spoken very drastically down through the scriptures in the Old Testament is that of idol worship. God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And here the Antichrist, this Antichrist or this false prophet, he sets up a beast so that people might worship an idol. And those who worship the beast and receive the mark are those who are lost souls, and no doubt great will be the number of lost souls. And also great will be the number of martyrs at that time. For the true believer at that time will not bow down to the beast, and many will be martyred for it. But you know, you and I who whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ today, who make up the church, who can praise him for his grace and the fact that we will not go through this period of time, for the church will be taken from the scene before the Antichrist will be revealed, according to 2 Thessalonians. Now, notice verse 18. Here is wisdom: let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, what does the number 666 mean? There have been many that have speculated down through the years as to what it means. Some have taken the names of various dictators down through the years and tried to fit them to numbers. And well, we do know this, that seven is a complete number, and six is an incomplete number, and six is man's number, for he's incomplete, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have three times six. And I believe it speaks to us of this fact, that humanity is fallen, and humanity is filled with pride and defying God. And the number 666 defies or signifies man's day and man's defiance of God under Satan's power in its combination. It's the final day of man, 666. Now, I started out a few things here just to give us some sort of an idea as to why we think the what some of the scriptures that we have, who I believe they refer to. The first beast, remember we spoke last week, and we said he was the prince or the little horn
that's spoken of in Daniel's prophecy, chapter 7, verses 8, 24, and 25. In Daniel 9 and 26, he's spoken of as the prince that shall come. In Revelation 6 and 2, he read of him as the conqueror who comes forth on the white horse to conquer. And I believe he's the first piece of Revelation 13, the head of the Roman Empire, which is also referred to as the beast. And then he's the eighth head spoken of in Revelation 17 and verse 11. When the eighth comes out of the seventh, speaking of the fact that the Roman Empire will be revived again, and he is the head of this revived Roman Empire. And then his number is 666. 666 then is the number of the first beast, not the number of Antichrist if we believe that Antichrist is the second beast. For the false prophet, the second beast, is the one who makes the image that they ought to bow down to. Speaking of that, it says he speaks of the first beast, and it says his number is 666. Then the Antichrist is the willful king that we read of in Daniel 11, 36, 37. He's also the idol shepherd, or the worthless shepherd that we read of in Zechariah 11, 16 and 17. We believe he's the false Messiah of John 5 and 43, the one who comes in his own name. They wouldn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but they receive one who comes in his own name. And he's the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians 2. And then John, 1 John, speaks of the Antichrist. John is the only one who really speaks of Antichrist using that term. And John notes for us some things about Antichrist. In 1 John 2 and verse 22, Antichrist is one who denies the Father and the Son. And then in 1 John 4 and verse 3, and also 2 John and verse 7, Antichrist is one who denies the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then John says in 1 John 2 and verse 18 that the spirit of Antichrist was already prevalent in the apostles' time, in the days in which they lived. But then in 2 John verse 7, he says that deceit is one of the characteristics of Antichrist. And you notice that in verse 14 of chapter 13, it says, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. And so there, he's one of deceit. And then we already mentioned that he's a beast with two horns, a lamb that, pictured as a lamb that had two horns. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Lamb of God that came to bear away the sin of the world. And then he's the false prophet of Revelation 19. Leave me just a few thoughts here on these two beasts. Now, we said earlier there are many views as to which one are the Antichrist, and it all depends, I guess, as to where you place the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians and where you place the willful king of Daniel 11. And it's interesting to see how many of the different Bible scholars place them differently, and some of them refer to all of those in regard to the first piece of Revelation 13. It's even interesting to see that one of the founders of Dallas
in his writings, he writes of the Antichrist as the second beast. But those who follow him and are present teaches them about us that the Antichrist is the first beast.